got your Bibles open, Ephesians chapter 4. We always tell the kids now when they look at their Bibles, they really do read their Bibles, and they'll say, is it the big number or the little number? And they're like, the chapter's the big number, y'all. All right, so verse 4, and we're going to read through verse 16. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. Verse 9, and saying he ascended, what does it mean? But that he had also descended into the lower regions, the earth. He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him, who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Let us say our scripture declaration. Lord, we honor your word to us. May your truth become our heart's pursuit and our life's practice.
Thank you, Miss Tiffany. Thank you, everyone. And I appreciate having the opportunity once more to share God's word with you. The title of the message today is The Church Depends on Those in It. And we're going to talk about the church and just go a little deeper on the ideas and the concepts of what the church is, what it's not, and why it matters. And so I'm just going to kind of share with you from Ephesians chapter 4. Now, I will tell you, I don't have time to go into every part of Ephesians chapter 4 today. If you'd like to go to gotquestions.org, if you read this passage and you don't understand fully the idea of what does it mean when he says he descended and he ascended and all that, if you'd like to go to gotquestions.org and ask it that very question, it will help you to understand. And it's a good opportunity for me to tell you that that is a great resource for you. If you are a person who doesn't always understand the Bible that you're reading, and sometimes you don't understand certain scriptures, you can always go and ask gotquestions.org, and it is a very biblical answer that you will receive almost every time I find myself agreeing with it. And so I would just share with you, you can always use that, and it will help you in your Christian life. But today I want to talk and focus on the church depends on those in it. Now I want to begin here. And as crazy as it may sound, and if you're a part of our Growth Text group, you know that I spoke about this a little bit on that thing that came to you on Tuesday morning. But the five pillars of a great life really are summed up here. It is to magnify, to have a membership, to be maturing, to minister, and then have a mission. All of these things are the pillars of a great life. Now, let me just share with you, this is why the church is so important. We've talked a little bit over the last couple of weeks about how the church is not just an organization, but it is actually an organism. In other words, it is a living, breathing thing that is headed by Christ as the leader and the founder of the church. And so let me just share with you, the five pillars of a great life also happen to be the five pillars or even purposes of a great church, that we magnify God, that we have a connection with one another. We talk about a church family around here, that we talk about how we are maturing and growing in our faith, and then how we have a ministry to one another here in this body, and we're going to focus on that today, but also that we have a mission, that we are going out and making a difference and making an impact in our world. And so these are the things that make a church. Now, I'm going to just tell you, I believe with all of my heart, that if you have three of these but don't have two of these, you don't have a church, you have something else. But whenever you have all five of these aspects and elements of this great church, it is not only a great church, but it is also something that will help you in your life. So here is just a reminder. The reason that God felt like it was okay to have his son come to earth, tell us about himself, reveal God's character to us, provide for our salvation, but then leave and only leave one organization, one organism in his place after he left. He left the church and he felt like it was sufficient for us. Why? Because for a great life or for a great church, these are the things that are that they have to be present. And if you are missing one of these, you are probably not feeling full and whole and complete. Now, you may not grasp it, but this is very, very important because truthfully, for most of us, there's a couple or three of these that we do automatically. There are things that we're kind of drawn to. For some of us, we're like, man, I really want to grow. I want to grow. I want to know more things. I want to learn more things. And that's one of these natural things that we do. Or for some of us, we're on the opposite end and we're like, well, I really want to be a part of a group of people. You know, I just want to know people and connect. And that's what I really feel like is the best thing. For some of you, worship is your thing. And you're like, man, if we can just magnify the Lord, that's all that we need to do. Well, that's not actually what the Bible teaches. This is what the Bible teaches, that all of these things must be present. You will probably be drawn to two or three, and you will probably leave two or three of these out, just by the purpose of your being a human being. But if you do, you will feel incomplete in your life, and we will be incomplete as a church. And for some of us, you may have figured out there are things that I, as the pastor, have to force myself to do, and there are things that I naturally do. Because why? Because the church isn't about me or any of my shortcomings. It is about God and all that he wants to provide. He meets every one of all of our needs, and he does so in this way. And so we magnify the Lord. We participate as a family. We learn. We minister to one another, but then we also take it outside the walls of this church and make a difference and make an impact in our community for the name of Christ. That is how we have not only a great life, but also a great church. Now I'm going to give you an opportunity to say amen. Can I get an amen? All right, very good. Y'all are like, no, we're not starting over. Okay, I get it. As we keep moving, from week one, I just want to share with you, Ephesians is split into two parts, chapters 1 and 3, dealing with our identity in Christ, and then the last section, 4 through 6, living out our identity. So real quick, she read from Ephesians chapter 4. That means we're going to talk today about living out our identity, not what we are in Christ, but how it looks when we are in Christ, if that makes sense. And so as we keep moving here, we say that it benefits the church, the capital C church, as Scripture simply assumes that Christians are going to have fellowship, doing life together with those in the church. It is a living organism that God, the Word of God, calls His bride, calls His body, His household, His dwelling place. It calls them all of these things because just one like descriptor cannot reach and capture it all. And then again, reviewing from week number one, the big idea was the church is where you have both a what? Family and a function. Both of these things are true in a church. Now, also, here is where we are today. Today's big idea comes very early in the message, and it's right here and right now. The church is where you have both a family and a function, and the church body needs every body part to perform its function. Now, let me just share with you very quickly, in my situation, and what you guys know a little bit about my history, maybe some of you know, maybe most, if not all of you know, but about 16, 18 months ago, I felt like I was very, very healthy, but suddenly, in our blood drive, I gave blood, and I couldn't ever get my breath back after I gave my blood away. And it was just a really strange thing, and I asked my sister, I was like, Lancia, you know, you're an RN, help me out. And I tried to get some private time with her because I was up in Oklahoma at that moment. And so I told her, I said, hey, I've got this problem. I'm struggling. And here's the deal. The truth is that ever since I gave blood, I've not been able to get my breath back. And I've got this pain kind of like right in between my shoulder blades on my back. What do you think that's all about? And she looked me in the eye and she said, and I mean, my sister is a great nurse. She said, I think you have a heart problem with blockage. And I think that once you gave all those red blood cells away, you can't keep up and can't make up the difference. So I think you need to go to the doctor right now. And if you know, like I'm the youngest, she's the oldest. I don't want to be told what to do by my older sister, you know? So I was like, well, okay, all right, that's good information. I'll just take that under advisement, you know? And all said and done, I got to the doctor as quickly as I possibly could, found out, guess what? I had a problem with my heart. My sister nailed it. She just exactly what I was dealing with and facing, exactly what I needed to hear. Now, today, I'm going to be talking to you, and I'm going to talk to you straight. And I'm going to just share with you, because for my perspective as the pastor, I think I want to just make sure that we as a church body are not waiting for others to perform the function of my part of the body. Are you guys following? You see where I'm going? Because ultimately, I am supposed to perform my function. I am not supposed to be performing somebody else's function. But you also are supposed to be performing your function, not waiting on somebody else to do what you have been called, equipped, and gifted to do. Because the body is the body, and every part needs to function the way that it's supposed to. Now, I told you the story about my heart because you guys know how serious that was. Y'all know how critical that was. All of that stuff that we were facing could have cost me my life. Why? Because that is an important function that has to be done in that way. It cannot be done by something else. The doctor didn't look at me and go, well, you know, your skin looks great. You know, your skin is great. You're having a heart attack and you got a problem with your heart, but your skin looks great, right? No. That's not how that works. Why? Because every part of the body has to perform the part of the body's function that it is prepared, called, and designed to do. Now, can I get an amen on that? Okay, so now that you've said amen, I have to ask you, are you doing your part? I didn't think I'd get an amen, but what we are going to do is I'm going to pull you off the sidelines and I'm going to ask you here, the church body needs every body part to perform its function. Would you guys say that with me on the count of three? Here we go. Ready? One, two, three. And the church body needs every body part to perform its function. You and I, we love being a part of the family. the family eventually needs every part of the family to do its function. That's important. All right. Now, we don't have a ton of time, but again, we're reviewing from week number one. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, we are his workmanship. That word for workmanship is actually from the Greek word poema, which we get the English word poem from. And let me just share with you, it's very interesting that God would say about his body, his church with the capital C, he would say about all of us, we are his poem. We are his love letter to the world and to us. But here is the thing about poetry. You don't just slap it all together. I joke all the time. Like sometimes when I say something and it accidentally rhymes, you know, I'm like, man, I'm a poet and I didn't even know it, you know, all that stuff. And you're like, wow, that's great poetry, life-changing, right? So nobody cares about a quick little rhyme, but something that is meaningful and powerful and every word placed exactly where it needs to be. That can change a person's like outlook and mindset. And so poems are beautiful because they are specific. They are personal. They are very selective in the words that they use. And so when God looks at us and says, you are his workmanship, his masterpiece, his poem, then that means that you and I have been selected in a very specific and perfected sort of way. And if we are saying, well, this is the gifts that I have, but I'm just not involved and I'm not doing my part, then ultimately we are far less as a church, not only the little C church, but also the capital C church, whenever we're not involved and saying, this is what God has enabled and gifted me to do, and now I'm going to be a blessing, and outward it goes rather than stays inside. All right, so very quickly, here's what I want to share with you, how gifts bless the body. And I'm going to hit these pretty quickly as we go through, but they're all here in this passage of scripture in Ephesians chapter 4 and in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you'd like to see them. There are other places where God speaks about his gifts in his word. But let me just share with you from these couple of passages of scripture, and I'm going to tell you now, I want to make this real, and I want to make this something that actually changes the outcomes here in this church. I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond to this, not to be a person who says, yeah, that's great, but just like we did last week, I see here that whenever I ask for you guys to respond, you responded. That's why every one of these lights is lit. Because each one of you said, I will step forward and I will take this challenge and I will hear from God's word. It's not about my words, it's about God's words. I'm trying to reveal God's word to you and make sure you hear it and understand it. But eventually, it is up to you to say, okay, well, I've been on the sidelines for a while and now it's time for me to step out and off of the sidelines and get involved on the team. So how gifts bless the body. First of all, every member has received a gift, at least one. And this is important because some of you guys think that you don't come with anything to offer. And I would just share this with you. There are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but is the same God who empowers them all. Empowers them what? All. In everyone. You see how it's all inclusive? And then to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So what is he saying? Three times in this passage of scripture, he says, all, everyone, to each is given. So in other words, you have a spiritual gift. If you are a believer in Christ, you have a spiritual gift. Now, here's the thing. We often think we're being humble when we say we don't think God's given us a spiritual gift. What you're being is contrary to what God's word is saying. Okay? Ooh, I like that. All right. I like that. All right. So we aren't being humble. We have to look at ourselves and say, if I'm a believer, then God has not just saved me from something, he saved me for something. Okay? So it's not just for me to be blessed by the things that he has given me. It's for me to be a blessing to his people and his family. And here's the saddest thing. Let me just share this. This just came to me right now. Hopefully this all makes sense. The church, as it continues to go on, ought to be getting better and better and better and better. But that's not what's happening, is it? The church is not improving with every person who's converted. Every person who's claiming Christ is not participating in the body. They're receiving the blessing of salvation, but then they're staying right there and they're not moving forward. But if we, every person that comes in and says yes to the Lord and also yes to his body, I want to be a part of this family and I'm going to play a function in this family, then we ought to be elevating as a church, but we're not as a church universal because we are coming and receiving the blessings, but we're not turning around and being one. Amen. So, but scripture says we all need to benefit each other because every one of us brings something to the table that is a blessing to our fellow believers in Christ. In other words, there are things that you have that you bring to this church body that no one else brings. I could call names, and I'm not going to do that, but I could call names of our church body. And you would say, you know what? If that person was not there, there'd be something missing. And we wouldn't quite be clicking on all cylinders. So, I would go even further and tell you that not only is that true, there is a truth that we are not clicking on all cylinders, period, because some of you have not ever said to me or to others, God has gifted me. And I just want to use it for his good and for his glory and for his church. And so until that happens, even what we have is unused and unutilized potential here in this church. It's still happening to this day. Can I get an amen on that? It's true. It's true. Okay, so how gifts bless the body. Every member's received a gift, at least one. A believer is built up when they use their gifts. I'm just going to be honest with you. I feel the presence of God when I prepare a message. And when I deliver a message, I feel the presence of God. Why? Is it because I'm super spiritual or anything like that? It's not. I'm not a super spiritual person. I want to be, but I'm not. I am just a guy who has been gifted to teach. But every time I do what God has created me to do, I feel closer to God. Now I'm just going to be mean about it all. And I'm going to tell you that some of you have gifts that you've never used and never tapped into, and that's why you've never really felt like you're growing closer to the Lord. You've maybe raised to a certain point, and then you just stop, and you're like, what's going on? It's because you're doing a couple of those pillars, but not all of them. It's because God has given you a gift that you can bring to his body and you're not doing it. You're choosing all of the other reasons to not do it, but yet the frustration for you is that spiritual life is not hitting the way that you want it to. And the problem is not that God did not provide for you, it's that you won't submit to him. And that ultimately, when you submit to him and say, God, what you've given me, I will give back to you, you will level up. It is just a fact. It is just truth. Everybody that has ever used their spiritual gift to be a blessing to somebody else knows there's something about feeling God's presence whenever you utilize your spiritual gift to be a blessing for God. And so because of that, a believer is built up when they use their gift. On the downside, if you don't use your gift, guess what happens? Yeah, you just stay put. And so if you're a person who needs to grow in your spiritual life, it may be that you've got the inflow, but you haven't got the outgo yet. And if you can't get the outgo, the inflow eventually becomes bloating, right, rather than bodybuilding. All right, let's keep moving here. I wanted Donna to be here to hear the bodybuilding comment, but y'all tell her I was talking about her, okay? From God's word, from Ephesians chapter 4, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. What's the body of Christ? The church. The big C church, the little C church. It's all being built up as we go and we equip the saints for the ministry. And notice there, not equip the pastors for the ministry, but all of the saints. The church is not my job, it is our job. The church is all of our job. Now, that's important to know because ultimately, a lot of you guys are here not because of me, but because of somebody that you're sitting close to right now. And that's okay. That is a beautiful thing, as a matter of fact. Some of you came to this church the very first time, and I wasn't even here. And you felt the love of God, and you said, I want to be a part of this church. And you called me, and you said, hi, I've been coming to your church for the last couple of weeks, and we'd like to meet you, Pastor. When are you coming back? I was like, well, I got this heart thing going on, but I'm coming, okay? I promise I'm coming back. And you know who you are, and I know who you are, and praise God you're here. So we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, or and that's the universal here, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. What's going on here is he's telling us that we are in need of one another, participating in our spiritual life together. As we do that, not only do we raise ourselves up and bless, receive that blessing, but we also bless those that are near us. We are the blessing that we need to be. And so it's important that we grasp this. Now, let me share with you, it is possible, I believe with all of my heart, let me just say it this way, I believe with all of my heart that you cannot reach your full potential as a Christian, and you cannot grow to the place that God would have you to grow until you begin to serve other people. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14, it says that solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. I think most of us think that knowing more means growing more, but the truth is that knowing more doesn't matter. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up, is what 1 Corinthians 13 says. So in other words, what we have to do is not be shooting to know more, but to know how to do more in the work of God. Because ultimately, if we're training ourselves by doing everything that we know we're supposed to do, we will actually not only benefit others, but it will change our own situation. All right, I'm getting sidetracked, but let me just share this with you. John Bunyan, who wrote Pilgrim's Progress, he said, you have not lived today until you have done something for someone who can never repay you. And that is a beautiful sentiment. In other words, if we can lift our eyes off of ourselves and begin to lift it outward, be that blessing rather than just simply receiving it, it will change our lives. Thirdly, a body is built up when members use their gifts. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we grow to every way into him who is the head, into Christ. The whole body joins together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. What is it saying on those last two lines? That we, as a church body, become what we are capable of being when all of us commit to being the church, not just attending it. And so we've got to give ourselves to the church. We are, yes, a part of the family, but we are also, yes, performing our function as a part of the body of Christ. And then fourthly, gifts are primarily for others, not for you. And this is the thing that changes us. Because ultimately, when Christ came, did he come because he was bored in heaven? And he thought, you know, the earth sounds interesting. I'm going to go check that place out, right? Like, I'm going to go and be spit on and mocked and, you know, betrayed by my closest friends. That's the place I want to go. I want to go hang out there. None of that. Why did he come? He came for you and for me. And so we will never be like Christ until we say, what I have been given, I might not want to give. I might not want to be a blessing. But those people that I know that are a part of this family, they need it. And so I'm going to be faithful to give it, to participate in it, not because it's going to bless me, but because ultimately it blesses others and it changes others. He goes on here. I already read this passage of scripture. He empowers all of these and all and everyone and each one, all these things. But then it says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit. Why? For the common good. In other words, you are a blessing to me. and I am supposed to be a blessing to you. When I just simply come to receive the blessing rather than be the blessing, I am missing a huge part of not only my growth, but also growth for other people. Can I share something with you that I've recognized? It's a weird thing, but if I came to people and told them, I said, hey, listen, hey, I know that God wants to do something in your life. I want to see some changes made in your life. I believe that God has really got something special for you. Please come. Please come and be a part of this church. They will maybe do it. But if I look at them and I say, and your kids need it, they're going to be here. Why? Because they don't for themselves, but they will for someone else more so. It's just strange. And if you don't believe me, why are there personal trainers? Because you know where you're supposed to go and what you're supposed to do. But if you don't have somebody meeting you, you probably aren't going to go every time. But if you know that somebody else is counting on you, you're going to show up and you're going to go and do what you know you ought to do. I got a true, I got an amen. Can I get an amen from all of you? Amen. So if you want the body to be what the body ought to be, then you and I have to say, you know what, I'm going to get off the sidelines and I'm going to get involved. I heard somebody describe a football game, not the international football, but the American football, okay? So they said it probably could apply to both. But it said that there are about 22 men on a field who desperately need some rest, watched by about 80,000 people who desperately need some exercise. And here's what I'm sad to say, that oftentimes that can describe the church. That there are a handful of people who are busting their tails and giving everything that they've got and doing everything that they possibly can to make sure that the church is what it ought to be, when it really ought not be just a handful of us. It should be all of us. And here's what's powerful. When it becomes all of us, there's no more hero worship. No more hero worship. No more, man, that guy's great. Man, that woman's great. And it becomes, you know what? God is great. Because he's taking broken vessels like all of us and using us to be a blessing to me, to you, to the church universal. And he's pulling all of us off the sidelines and saying, get in here and get involved. Get in here and do your part. What you alone can bring to this poem, bring it and let it be a blessing to everyone. We have been saved and we have been called to receive a blessing and to be one. Very quickly, I'm ending. Here we go. Is the church, capital C, where you come to be blessed, but is it also where you come to be a blessing? If it's not, it ought to be both. It can't be one, not the other, but it's got to be both. And then what would the church be if every member acted as you do towards the church? And would you treat Christ himself as you treat his church? Because ultimately, when Christ left, he left one organism behind and said, this is going to be enough. This is actually going to change the world. You won't believe it, but it's going to change the world, and it has. But the more that we let the church be somebody else's responsibility, the less and less and less we are the shining city on a hill that God created us to be. Let's check this out.
This is Flynn. And Flynn is trying to find his fit. He jumps in, gives it an honest try. Sometimes it's funny, sometimes it's awkward, and sometimes it's obvious. This just isn't how he's wired. Because here's the truth. Not everyone is gifted the same way. And that's not a flaw. God gives each of us unique abilities, passions, and strengths. Not to compare, not to compete, but to contribute. Your gifts have intention. And when you use them the right way, they don't just fill a need, they unlock purpose. It took a moment, but Flynn found his place. Because the goal isn't just to serve, It's to serve where you fit.